Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max 1 offer per account.
A relatively pleasant Sunday in what's been a rocky couple months for the Grizzlies. Get an easy, fun win. You get your star players rested. And in the range of outcomes you could have gotten, it wasn't the best one, but it wasn't the worst either in terms of how you're set up.
It was kind of a fun, oddly fun day, given it was a meaningless, you know.
I felt those dudes, Gigi struggled, but everyone else, like, they played a really good basketball game. Now, it was like, you know, the back half of the Grizzlies roster against the back half of the Mavs roster in a game that ended up not mattering. So it is what it is. But, like, you know, treat it like a pickup game or a playground game, and it was like good basketball, you know?
Who played yesterday who's going to play in the playoffs or the play-in?
It's a good question. You know, Issa Lowe, and I'm working on a preview of the game itself for tomorrow night, which I'll finish at some point after the show. I was actually rewatching the last Grizzlies-Warriors game this morning. Issa Lowe did say, like, you know, there are guys who are going to play who in this game are going to play, and I mean, you can just look at what the normal rotations for the Grizzlies have been, but the other tip-off to me is the guys who didn't play as much. And so that was Vince Williams and John Conchar played less than the other guys.
Right.
I think that's a tip-off that those are the guys you're most likely to play in, you know, in the game tomorrow night.
What have you thought of Vince of late?
It's been rocky. I thought he was good yesterday. I liked the rebounds. When I watch Vince Williams, I'm not looking for the scoring and the shooting. I'm looking for rebounds, assists, steals, blocks. He's not only is he not a score first player, he's a score last player. He's a Kyle Anderson kind of player. So that's what I'm looking for there. And I like to see him get double digit rebounds. I like to see him, I think he got robbed of an assist by the official scorer. It should have been 6, but I like to see him like doing that. And I like to see just the general activity. He still does not look like last year's Vince Williams to me, but he looks better than he did a month ago. That's for sure. And I think he'll probably start because they've been starting him, although you can make a case to start Pippen in this matchup. But I think he's gonna play, and they need him to play well if Jalen Wells out.
He's going to be chasing Steph around?
I assume that it will be a combination over the course of the game of Vince Williams and Scottie Pippen Jr. Primarily with that, yeah.
All right, before we get into that more, season is done. And as you pointed out, you and I had different ways of pointing out in our various columns. For me, there's only 17 Grizzlies teams in 24 years that have done better than this team in terms of number of wins. And as you point out, I didn't look at this precisely, this team had more wins than the team that beat San Antonio that is so beloved.
Yes.
Right?
They had more wins than the Grit Grind Grizzlies of 2011. That team had a little bit better momentum coming out of the regular season.
Right.
And that is certainly the case. So I don't think the potential is as great with this team. It certainly doesn't seem that way. That team had lost Rudy Gay middle of the season, but they didn't lose key players like, you know, in the last 3 weeks, the way this one has.
But it all obviously highlights that context matters.
That's right.
How do you view this regular season?
They actually, I think, hit the over on their over-under from the preseason.
They did.
I think it's a disappointment. And they hit the over-under with John Morant missing half the games and like all kinds of other stuff. You get a coaching change, you know. But I think they reached a point, it's clear they underperformed what they were capable of. because they were capable of more than that preseason over-under, and I think we know that now. So I think it's proper to register this season as a disappointment when you factor all things in. I think this team is fundamentally better than it's been the last 2 months, even though it's not as good as it should have been. And so I label it a minor disappointment, but I'm not, and we'll get to the postmortems later, but I am not a, oh my God, the era is over. That is not my attitude about this.
What are the reasons, do you think, for the disappointment?
Oh, I think the defense, this team has been good defensively for years under Taylor Jenkins, who I think is a good defensive coach. I think the defensive, it's a combination of two things, as near as I can tell. I think from a personnel standpoint, there were issues going in, and those issues got exacerbated over the course of the season by two trades and two injuries. And so I think the defensive personnel has been degraded, and it was degraded coming into the season and degraded way more over the course of the season. And I think that degradation of defensive personnel has probably been, embellished. It's been heightened by, I think, a little bit of loss of I think Jenkins' voice did wear a little thin. Right. So, and I think coaching is part getting buy-in and getting effort. And so when you combine sort of the roster problems on the defensive end with maybe some of the lack of focus and intensity over the course of the season that partly led to the coaching change, you put those two things together and the team has just been really bad defensively for a while.
And then you throw in job missing half the games and whatever else. And do you think, by the way, that the casual approach to winning games, that's at least how I'll describe it, hurt them? Like, there's two games separating 3 and 8.
I was clanging the bell on that when it happened. Right. Since game two, I've been talking about this, right? People probably got sick of hearing me on this. And so, I pointed that out when it happened. Like, I was saying back in November, like, if you just push down on the gas just a little bit to get a win against Brooklyn and play, your guy 34 minutes instead of 30 or 31, like, you're going to want that win. I was saying that in the moment. So, yes.
You literally said it after game one because you said they pushed the lever. They tested the limits of it in game one, and it came out on the right side. But what there'll be games where it doesn't.
Yes.
And there were a lot where it didn't.
Yeah. And again, that's not to say you got to play all these guys 30. No. You got to find the right balance. But across the entire 30-team landscape of the NBA, like, the Knicks were on one end of the spectrum, the Grizzlies are on the other. And, like, I don't need the team to be exceptional. Like, I don't need them to be, like, at the far end of the spectrum on just about anything, right? Like, and so, yeah.
Do you think, like, so they haven't been, the record didn't improve.
But to your point, like, not only did they finish two games out of third,
right?
They finished four games out of second. In addition to those early season games that we referenced, they also lost three straight games at home on last second shots, right? This team was so close to being the second seed, even with these problems.
There was an egregious, there was a game against San Antonio where they rested everybody that was infuriating or whatever else. So, and who knows? Like, I don't know if they will reevaluate that going forward. I don't know where this all came from, whether it was a Jenkins or whether it was a Kleiman or whatever, but it seemed to be that they erred too much on one side of things. In terms of players who exceeded their expectations this regular season or had, whatever, is there Jaren and Jalen and Scotty? Is those the three and not much really anybody else?
Well, it depends on what your expectations were for Zach Edey. Like, some people had extremely low expectations for Zach Edey. Like, they thought he was going to be a bust.
Yours.
No, I would say he roughly met my expectations. Edey did. I feel good about Edey, the season he's had. There are strengths and weaknesses, as there are all players, especially rookies, and especially fairly unique rookies. I would say Jaren, although Jaren, like, faded a little bit late. Pippen was an up and then a down and then a back up, but I think coming out of the season, I feel really good about Pippen and where he's at.
Brandon was great until he got hurt. He did get hurt. That's part of the package.
But we knew Brandon was good. We just weren't sure how much he was going to be able to get back. I mean, Jalen Wells is the obvious one.
Is the obvious one.
I don't think anyone could have had any expectations whatsoever for Jalen Wells coming into the season.
I did not. I literally asked you if he was going to spend most of his season in the G League, getting most of his playing time in the G League.
I guarantee you, not a single person employed by the Memphis Grizzlies when he was drafted thought this guy's going to start 40 games, let alone 75 or whatever it was.
How about Dez? What do you think of Dez?
I think Dez had a good season. I think Dez is Dez. And guys have ups and downs. He had the stretch. he had the stretch where he strained the oblique and he missed time, and then he was really bad for about 3 weeks after that, and that sort of colors his numbers on the season. I think, you know, the offense stuff is interesting, and I'll get back into that when it's postmortem time. I think they should be careful not to just discard everything that they were doing early this season, you know, even though they discarded the coaches who were doing it, because I think there was some good stuff there. But I think it forced the thing about it forcing guys to try to just beat guys one-on-one off the dribble without a screen. There was a lot of focus on that relative to Ja. I think that was sort of an issue relative to Des, too. His turnover rate has been really high this season. I think it's partly based on that kind of stuff. I think he's a guy who benefits from the screens almost as much as Ja does in a different way. And so I don't think that stuff they were doing early in the season was necessarily to his benefit either.
What happened down the stretch against Denver?
I think they ran out of gas. I mean, they've had trouble closing games, period. And so it could be just that. Like, maybe they're just not as good, and the other team ramps it up, and there's that. But also, like, they were on the second night of a back-to-back, you know, against Denver, and Denver was rested. And, like, I mean, if that had happened in the middle of November or January, that's what everyone would have said about it, you know?
Okay. So they are where they are. They get Golden State. And as you wrote today in your piece, which I've retweeted, people can read over at the Daily Memphian, that feels fortunate relative to what could have happened.
Yeah, you would, you know, it's not a great place to be, because I think the Warriors have been really good since the trade deadline. But I think the Clippers matchup would have been far worse for the Grizzlies than the Warriors matchup. I think the Clippers are probably the second best team in the West. And I think specifically for the Grizzlies, I think they pose all kinds of problems. And so, you know, the Grizzlies are going to be the underdog tomorrow night. They should be the underdog tomorrow night. They will likely lose that game. But I think I can envision them winning that game in Golden State much easier than I can envision them winning at the Clippers, which I think would have been just something that was not going to happen.
6.5-point underdog so far is what I saw.
That seems reasonable.
Yeah. They have had notable, I mean, two of the notable wins in this franchise's history were upset wins at Golden State. Game two of the series, they ultimately lost in 2015 when Conley comes back with a broken face.
Right.
A broken face game. That was like, no, I'm sure the line there was much bigger than 6.5.
Right.
And then they win the play-in game at Golden State.
Play-in elimination game. Yeah, it was the second play-in game.
It was the second play-in game. And whoever loses this one will play again.
Right.
That was in 21, the Grizzlies went on to play Utah.
Utah lost
in five.
In the 1-8. Yep. But Morant had the huge game in game
and
one.
Game
and
one,
two.
They won game. Yeah.
They won game two. Either huge game in game two. One, right. Then they won game two, and then
So they've been in the situation before, or whatever, various the franchise has before. And maybe we'll you said your column's gonna go up, so maybe we'll talk about it more tomorrow. But your thoughts on the matchup.
Yeah, I just think the matchup stuff, there's some manageable matchup stuff there. I think in terms of the Grizzlies' size advantage, you know, it sort of goes both ways with Edie and the drop coverage and Steph, but also Edie has been good in these games. I think Jaren can be good in these games. I think Ja's been good in these games. The Warriors don't have great defensive matchups individually for Ja and Jaren, and they have a size mismatch problem with Edie.
Draymond's not going to take him out and torch Edie from far away either.
Well, they're going to let Draymond shoot, and that's going to be one of the things. And I'll write about that. But when I was watching it today, and that's part of it. I think Isolo's leaned into that more, and it's bit them. Like against Boston, they invited Al Horford to shoot,
right,
and then he made the shots. They're going to invite Draymond to shoot, and so if Draymond has a good day from three, it could be lights out for the Grizzlies. But they're going to
let him shoot.
They're going to say, "Please, sir, take this 3-point shot." I think that's going to happen. When I was going back watching it this morning, I wonder about Santi Aldama in this game. He was like -28 in the last game. And I feel like the Warriors are not a team where they ISO you and they have the scorer goes one-on-one. It's the team basketball and you look up and Curry's popping threes because you lost track and you got and all of this. And I worry about the defensive awareness. I sort of wonder if they should lean small when it's not Jaren or Edie. Conchar is a guy I wonder about, because Conchar doesn't score and Conchar is not a great one-on-one defender, but the one-on-one stuff doesn't matter as much, but he's got defensive awareness and they need defensive awareness on the floor against the Warriors. So I wonder about the Santi and Luke stuff versus, say, a Conchar, a Lamar Stevens, some of those kind of guys. But I wonder if they might just lean small. Like, a lineup they have not played a single second this season is John Morant, Scottie Pippen Jr., Desmond Bane, Vince Williams, Jaren Jackson. I can see playing that when Edie's off the floor and just having that defensive ability to cover stuff, you know. So it'll be interesting to see how much they want to change up what they've been doing.
So in that last game, Jalen Wells was still healthy. Right?
Jalen Wells was healthy. Vince Williams, second out of back-to-back, Vince didn't play. So Jalen Wells played 30 minutes in that game. Scottie Pippen Jr. played 23. Vince Williams, Lamar Stevens, John Conchar combined for zero, right? And so I think maybe Pippen gets the 30, you know, whether he starts or comes off the bench, he gets that Jalen Wells 30, and you got the 23 to make up there, and you get maybe that's all Vince. But, it is a big bummer. For all the problems the Grizzlies have, I'd feel a lot better about them in this game and potentially in a playoff series with the Rockets if they get there, if they had Brandon Clark and Jalen Wells. I think losing both of those guys
just
hammers your ability to play decent defense with the roster you
have. In that game, and you also had Jaren had foul trouble, right?
Yes, Jaren ended up playing 31 minutes. He fouled out. And that's another thing I wonder about. The way that game started, everything was cross-matched. Every Warriors player the Grizzlies guarded, none of them guarded the same Grizzlies player. Like every single matchup was different. And what the Grizzlies did was Jaren guarded Butler, and his first foul came from that, contesting Butler. He had a couple bad fouls in the game, but also if you're guarding Jimmy Butler, that's a good way to get fouls. I wonder if they would switch that up some, have Dez guarding Butler, maybe have Jaren guarding, you know, Moses Moody and let him play off of that a little bit. I wonder about the Jaren guarding Butler thing if you really want to do that. They did that in the last game.
Do you think they would have essentially, had they not made the coaching change, the W's and L's would have been the same? Like, he hasn't produced a particular bump one way or another, right?
Probably so.
Who's to know?
Yeah, who's to know? But I don't see any clear indication either way that it's changed outcomes that much.
Right. Team's not available today. They're flying today, right? And then we'll...
Correct.
And then we'll play in the Chase Center tomorrow. All right, we'll go over the other matchups tomorrow. Oh, Jimmy Butler did... I don't want to say you cursed him, but...
I was joking. You're going to get me in trouble.
I won't say it. But he does... He was limping at the end of the game.
Yeah, no, I mean, one thing I did say, I'll reveal, was like people were talking about what the Grizzlies should want in the middle while it was all happening. I pointed out the Grizzlies should want like triple overtime. That's what the Grizzlies should want for one thing. They got the one overtime. They got Butler playing 48 minutes, and then he knocked his knees and was limping a little bit. I mean, this is Jimmy Butler in postseason basketball. So, not only is he playing, he may just go out and get 50 or whatever. Who knows? But to the degree that's an older team, they don't like to play heavy minutes. Like the Grizzlies on the season, they have not liked to play heavy minutes. And, you know, they took a lot of wear and tear in that game. And now
they got a day off, though, and they're home.
I would rather those guys had played the heavy minutes in that game than had the day off. You know?
Yeah. So they get their heavy minutes, and the Grizzlies, all the meaningful players, all had the day off.
Right.
You can read Chris's piece over at The Daily Memphis. He's got another one coming up.
Oh, I've also got, in between today. That, let me reveal my annual countdown best moments of the season.
Oh.
And don't, if you're mad about the Grizzlies being bad, don't be mad about being counted down the best moments. I did this last season when they won 27 games. I do
They're
it every year.
They're not bad.
That piece is done, and it's going to post, I think, 11 a.m. So after the bountiful meal that is the Jeff Calkins Show, you can have that for dessert.
11 a.m. How many moments did you go with here?
I did 28, because I did 27 last year, and I thought, this season can't have less than last season, so I went up to 28.
Was there a logic to it otherwise, or it just seemed like there were 28 moments?
Well, 50 has been my starting point in recent years, and I scaled that back last season.
Right.
And I was going to scale back this season because it hasn't been quite as exciting of a season, even though they won 48 games. So I was going to do 25, and then I looked back and said, wait a minute, I did 27 last year. I'm not doing fewer moments this year than I did last year.
At 28, were you reaching to get to 28, or were you having to cut some?
Oh, no. I mean, I had probably 100 things I'd jotted down over the course of the season. So.
And do you count the Tony Allen retirement
night? The Tony Allen retirement night is in there. I only count things that happen on the basketball court. But that happened on the basketball court. Yeah.
It doesn't have to be the games. It can be the ceremony itself on the basketball court. Yeah. So you count that.
Things that happen in the context of basketball games. And that did. It happened on the FedEx
Field. It is funny how it works. Like this season, again, there is more to come. And I said, like, I think the psychological importance, if you could beat Golden State, it's remarkable what one game will do for the morale. You 100%. Know, I think it is a massive opportunity in a way that beating the Clippers would not have. Like, it would have been great too. And unlikely, but there is a huge opportunity here to have people feel differently and better about things. It is striking how it works. Like this season, I don't know. Like I like the way you compared it. It felt like in your piece today, some of the seasons towards the end of the grit grind era that were
things are starting to break up. Yeah.
Yeah. It like this record was good, pretty good at the end, but it didn't, right. You didn't have a sense of momentum.
Right. And so the challenge is for it to not be that, to look back and say that it was not that. That was not what we were experiencing. It was a hiccup, not a breakup.
Because this is too early. That team was ready to break up. They were 100%. This is too early for a breakup.
Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, and Jaren Jackson are all younger than Zach Randolph was when he got to Memphis.
Exactly. This doesn't have to be the end.
No.
All right. Thank you, Chris.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Since the dawn of Major League Baseball, every player has honed their unique skills.
Judge, draw deep to left.
Ohtani connects and it's gone.
Skeen strikes out the side.
Bobby Witt Jr. throws in time.
Harper does it again.
Witness the hills of the game in ballparks nationwide. Get your tickets today at MLB.com/tickets. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I'm Claire Fallon.
And I'm Emma Gray.
We are friends and reality dating show fans, and the only thing we love as much as love stories is lovingly snarking on them.
Whether you love love or love to hate it, listen to Love to See It, our podcast dissecting all the romance we see on screen.
From reality dating shows like The Bachelor and Love is Blind to classic rom-coms like You've Got Mail, we recap in obsessive detail and unpack all the weird messages they send us about love, sex, and dating.
Listen to Love to See It on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.